This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Second hour of the show. We're here live on this Saturday edition. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Stay tuned later tonight. If you're on any of our video streaming channels, you'll be able to watch Beard Talk Live.
By the way, your beard's coming in pretty good there, Ian.
That's true.
I guess. But thanks. You can catch them over at video.freetalklive.com via our Odyssey channel. You can actually go to watch.freetalklive.com. They'll take you right to the video streaming page. Video.freetalklive.com takes you to the sort of overarching channel. But there's other platforms that we're on. We just started on a website this week called pilled.net.
I was going to ask you about that.
The foxhole. So we are streaming on there every single night, so you guys will be on there tonight as well. And the nice thing is there's actually people watching on this platform. Like some of the platforms we have, there's maybe one viewer or zero viewers, but looks like we've got nine viewers there right now. So, like, hey, welcome to folks watching us there on pill.net, and you guys will get Beard Talk Live. The difference between the shows is, first of all, Beard Talk Live hosted by all bearded hosts, but secondly and most importantly, it's not a broadcast show.
It's not on radio.
A radio show, right. So it does not need to be protected by the dump machine. We don't have that enabled during that show. There's no FCC regulations involved, so anyone can pretty much say pretty much whatever they want.
Uncensored.
There. So yeah,
free balling.
That's a thing. We still haven't even gotten into the story yet. We've been prefacing it with discussions about what stablecoins are and why they're bad in a lot of ways.
You mean stablecoins aren't based on, like, horseshoes?
That would be something else. They could do that.
A horseshoe-backed stable coin?
I like it. But you can only spend them in stables.
Of course.
Let's go to your phone calls first, though, before we continue with the story about the Russian and Iranian governments apparently considering launching their own gold-backed stable coin. But Sam is in Ohio. Go ahead, Sam. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Ian, I was just curious how your trial went. I remember that you were getting ready for that a while ago, and hope it went well for you.
No, it didn't. I mean, I thought the trial went pretty well, but the jury result did not go well. I was found guilty of all eight counts. So all victimless counts that ostensibly we would argue that the prosecution didn't even prove beyond a reasonable doubt or even close.
Well, of course not, because the only victim was the bank.
Yeah, well, they didn't even end up saying that later on. Like, that was something they filed early on in the case before they dropped all the fraud charges prior to trial, the so-called fraud charges. So, like, I don't even think they're claiming the banks were victims at this point. I think that was something they filed.
There wasn't any.
No, and in fact, victims. They admitted as much in court. They said that the banks were not victimized.
Come up with?
The victim is the state. People got their feelings hurt because people didn't ask permission first before selling something that they shouldn't have to ask permission to sell. So that's what this all comes down to. They're looking at a maximum of 20 years in prison. The sentencing will come up on April 14th. We do have a website, a post over at freetalklive.com. If you go to letters.freetalklive.com, there's some suggestions there as to if somebody wants to write the judge, they can do that. You don't send the letter directly to the judge. You send it to me. I give it to my attorney. Then it will presumably go from there into the hands of the judge. You can't contact a judge directly. That's called an ex parte communication, and they just, you know, you can't do that. But that is a possibility. So if you're really upset about it, cool down, and you can go to freekeen.com. You can read some of the coverage there. Our friend Chris, our Friday night co-host, did just incredible work. He took 3 weeks off from his running a business.
Yeah.
And he went into that courtroom every day and took down as many notes as he possibly could. Like, it's not quite a transcript, but he did a damn detailed
job.
Closest
thing you're going to get without spending buku bucks because government charges you for that crap.
I don't even want to think about what this transcript is going to cost because in order to appeal the case, guess what you have to order.
I was gonna say, don't you just get one because you
really?
Oh my god!
Oh no! You
Whiskey
gotta pay
Tango Foxtrot.
You gotta pay $3.60 per page of this transcript.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, that lasted for 10 days, a 10-day long trial. I have no idea how many
pages.
Once
you have it, can you post it?
It's probably double-spaced, too, you know, so they can...
But once you have it, can you post it?
And that's for the digital copy of the transcript.
Oh, wait, the caller asked, whatever happened to freedom of speech? I'm sorry, you live in the United States of America. There is no freedom of speech anymore.
Yeah.
No, what I meant is in terms of why didn't they provide it for free, I figured that would fall under freedom of speech.
Because they don't serve us.
Yeah. Nope, they don't. I wish it was a better system, Sam, but it's terrible, and we all knew that going into it.
You have the transcript, can you post it?
Like, yes, that is true. Okay. I would be able to do that and will, and I do intend to. I mean, if I'm going to pay God knows how many thousands
That's
of dollars.
What I'm saying,
for that, I'm guessing it's going to be 10 grand or more. I have no idea what a 10-day trial is going to cost. Plus, we'll have to get transcripts of other hearings, too, I presume. Right? Like, so the motion hearings that happened prior to that, we'll probably have to get them all in order to send this thing in. So, Sam, yeah, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. If you want to help out, if you feel like I've done some good in your life and good for the community, then that could be something you could share in a letter to the judge. Letters to the judge should not be indicting the prosecution or the FBI, no matter how strongly we may feel about it. That won't help get a light sentence. The good news is, if there is good news in this situation, is that they did drop the mandatory minimum charge prior to trial, so I'm not facing any counts that have a mandatory minimum. But the bad news is it's still 8 guilty felony convictions. So, I mean, I don't have a completely clean criminal record. I have nonviolent, victimless, civil disobedience-related quote-unquote crimes, which are still there, even though they're old enough now to be annulled.
Right.
But I can't annul them now that I have this new charge that I'm facing. So, like, they're ancient history as far as the legal system is concerned, but it's still going to count towards the sentencing.
Sam, in my opinion, the jury... already made up their minds by the time the trial was over, rather than reviewing the evidence again and going through it.
Did they even know what Bitcoin is?
Well, no. In fact, the jury selection omitted anybody who was familiar with cryptocurrency.
No, there was one guy.
It's not.
It's not. And they're not your peers. But there was one guy on the jury. I don't think I can say who it was, but there was one guy who was aware of Bitcoin and was a skeptic about Bitcoin. So that guy got on.
Wow, one guy who knows what it is and doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And Sam, just to see if you have an incredulous reaction, the jury spent a whopping 5 hours deliberating.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, now that I expected because there's been murder trials that have taken 2 hours, so that I believe.
Now,
that's not a long time for a
10-day
trial.
It's not a long time to, like, especially 8 counts.
They sure didn't look at the evidence if that's what they were doing back there.
No.
Because we were told they were taking smoke breaks.
They didn't have any knowledge of crypto, I believe you.
Yeah, no, they didn't. I mean, I explained it to them when I testified during the trial, but I don't think it really made any difference.
Could you find a more prejudicial thing, though? Like, the only person who even knows what this is against it? Like, the whole thing comes around, the whole thing has to do with Bitcoin, and they specifically found a juror who dislikes Bitcoin. That's
right.
Prejudicial. But, you know, it's a fair system. Totally. We get justice in this country.
Sam, anything else you want to share tonight?
So where do you write the letters? Like, what was, is it Free Keen where you have the information about writing the letters?
No, it's at letters.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right to the post. And it's got the address and suggestions for you there. And thanks in advance, Sam. I appreciate your call tonight.
Bye.
Thanks, dude. So the number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show here. The motion, by the way, or not motion, the memorandum that my attorney had to write. So the judge gave him a month to, you know, cook up whatever you want to say about your argument as to why these charges should be dismissed. Because what happened at the end of the prosecution, my attorney made a motion to dismiss all of the counts because
lack of evidence.
They did not prove any of the 8 counts at all.
Right.
Like, they could not meet the burden of every count has to have certain elements that have to be proven in order for a guilty finding, in theory, to happen. Of course, the jury can also do the reverse of jury nullification, which appears to be what they did in this case, which is just like, well, we don't really care about what the evidence says. We don't like you.
Yeah, you're guilty.
I mean, I don't know. We haven't talked to the jury members, obviously, but that's... It's a crazy situation.
It sure feels like a kick in the nuts.
And we're going to appeal. We're going to appeal this thing, but we have to wait until sentencing in order to appeal. So we can't file the appeal until that happens. Right. Now, in theory, the judge could, whether he will or not is another question, but the judge could say, yeah, I agree. Prosecution didn't prove count A, B, C, D, and, you know, toss those out, and then those would be, you know, gone. Those guilty verdicts would be nothing at that point. But whether a judge is willing to do that after a jury has made a decision, you know, to under, quote-unquote, undermine the jury in that way, I have no idea. What the odds are of that happening.
I can't imagine
that. It's also possible for them to say, yep, you're guilty of all those things, and no sentence.
Well, that's a possibility as well. I mean, we've certainly seen what has happened with the other Crypto 6 members who have pled guilty, is they have been sentenced not to time in prison, but to probation. So our friend Nobody, who you guys are going to be on with later tonight on Beard Talk Live, I believe he got 3 years probation. And Andy and Renee, I believe, got 1 and 2 years. I forget which order. I think Renee was 1 year, Andy was 2 or something like that.
That sounds about right.
So, well, no, it doesn't sound right to me, but
well,
it's better than prison.
Well, no, I mean, it sounds like what I expect from the criminal justice system.
And they're still saddled with a federal felony for the rest of their lives.
I mean, it's a textbook thing. Women get about half the sentence that men do for the same crime.
But plus she's young, and they got that whole thing going on, too. We don't know what Aria's sentence is going to be. That's been delayed. That's coming up in March at this point, so it's going to be a couple more months before we find that one out.
Right.
But, of course, we know that historically... People who don't take a plea deal tend to get harsher sentences people who take a plea. I mean, maybe this judge won't go that direction, but that tends to be what happens because they want to punish you for taking a case to trial.
Yeah.
You made me do my job. How dare you?
Well, on the other hand, to the judge's credit at least, and I've given him a lot of credit, I feel like he was much more fair than a lot of the federal judges we hear about. From what I was told by my attorney is this judge was actually really happy that he had a trial to do because he, you know, he's a judge. He became a judge so he could preside over trials, and that almost never happens. It almost never occurs that someone goes to trial these days. So he was like, hey, I get to be a judge, you know, for a couple of weeks.
Do his actual job.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Maybe that'll factor in, too. Who knows? But your letters can help if you go to letters.freetalklive.com. Or at least I hope they can help. They can't hurt.
Yeah.
So, thank you in advance for that. All right, let's get back into the story here, the stable coins, or get into the story, because we haven't even gotten into it. We've been talking about what a stable coin is.
Gotten past the headline.
It's crypto-backed, or it's a crypto-based token that is, quote-unquote, backed by a thing, usually offered by a corporation, a company of some sort, that claims to have that thing, whether it be an ounce of gold or a dollar or whatever, in a vault somewhere. And whether they have it or not, of course, is the big question. So I was saying before we went away to the news break was trust is the problem, because that's why Bitcoin was one of the reasons why Bitcoin was so revolutionary was it doesn't require trust. As long as the math is good and you can audit that, then it's a trustless system.
It doesn't require human trust.
Right.
Right. You don't have to trust in an entity or a government or an individual. Right. You trust that the math and the cryptography is solid. And that's why Bitcoin is worth now, I think, over $22,000. It's been on a run up recently. So that leads me to the question of, if you can't trust these centralized corporations, and you can't, can you trust the government?
Well, you can.
Can you trust Iran and Russia? Are they more trustworthy when it comes to issuing a stable coin or not?
Well, they are more trustworthy in two ways. Number one, they're older than 10, 20 years.
True.
So they're probably going to be around for another 10, 20 years or way more.
Mm-hmm.
So the
less likely to go bankrupt.
Yeah, they're less likely to cease to exist.
Yeah.
And number two, they're a lot harder for the U.S. to just go, this is mine now.
That's true. The U.S. government isn't going to be able to just waltz into their vault and take all the gold.
Right.
Okay. That's true. But their governments...
Or, for that matter, just to say, hey, we're taking you to court now.
Yeah. So, but on the downside, they are world governments. They're evil, number one, because they're governments. And number two, we know governments lie. So can you ever trust that they actually have the gold that they say they're backing the stablecoin with? And further, can they be trusted to actually redeem the stablecoin for gold?
Right. And are they going to allow... You know, third parties to inspect their gold stash, so to speak.
Good question. And I don't know why you wouldn't, because you're trying to compete. So you may as well actually be on the level about these things.
I do love...
And heck, invite people in to, like,
sure,
yes,
come see the vault. I do love anything from this sort of a perspective that forces governments... to become competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
Because the more that occurs, the less government they become.
Mm-hmm. And these are the shudderings and shakings of the new world that is breaking loose, is that we see these little movements toward actually having to compete as currencies. Because right now, currencies don't actually have to compete. They're all crap. And the reason that, oh, well, the dollar is up against the rest of them is because it is less crappy crap than the rest of them. They are all losing purchasing power, but look, the dollar's losing less purchasing power than, say, in Turkey, where it's like an 80x loss of purchasing power.
And that's the correct way to look at it, but what the mainstream media says when that happens is, oh, the dollar's up! Right. The dollar's stronger!
Yes, the like, dollar is up
no,
against
not.
Other crap
right.
dollar.
If you look at the price of eggs, you know the dollar is not up.
Right.
Okay?
Indeed. Yeah.
That's just one example. The price of everything is
yeah.
going up.
Yeah.
That's the symptom of inflation. Anyway, tell me what the story is.
Iran and Russia want to issue a new stable coin backed by gold.
And who's reporting this?
It's all over the place,
oh, okay.
actually. I think this one's from Cointelegraph, but yeah, it's all over the place.
Hmm.
The potential stablecoin aims to enable cross-border transactions instead of fiat currencies like the U.S. dollar,
hmm.
the Russian ruble, or the Iranian rial. The Central Bank of Iran is reportedly cooperating with the Russian government to jointly issue a new cryptocurrency backed by gold. According to the Russian news agency Vodomosti, Iran is working with Russia to create a, quote, token of the Persian Gulf region, unquote, that would serve as a payment method in foreign trade. And so something that I think is really crucial to understand the circumstance here, I'm just going to read the first handful of oil-producing countries here in order. So United States is at the top of the pack, then Saudi Arabia, Russia, China, Canada, Iraq, Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So really heavy hitters, because that's the thing, that oil really is the very most valuable thing in world trade right now, because
okay.
it's what people eat. I mean, we don't think of it that way, but that's exactly what happens. You take oil, you convert it into fertilizer, you convert the fertilizer into the food, so you are actually eating oil. It's just been processed by both chemical treatment plants and seeds, basically.
Okay.
Let's see. The token is projected to be issued in the form of a stablecoin backed by gold, according to Alexander Brezhnikov, executive director of the Russian Association of Crypto Industry and Blockchain. The stablecoin aims to enable cross-border transactions instead of fiat currencies like the United States dollar, the Russian ruble, and the Iranian rial. The report notes that the potential cryptocurrency would operate in the special economic zone of in Astrakhan, where Russia started to accept Iranian cargo shipments. So part of why I wanted to point out the oil thing is, like, to have a token of the Persian Gulf region, as mm-hmm. they're saying, means that this is going to be a gold-backed stablecoin that is specifically aimed at the majority of world oil production.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're going to want Saudi Arabia to accept this as well.
I'm sure they are. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, as we just talked about, that Saudi Arabia is in very heavy talks with China about accepting yuan for dollars means that they are already seriously open and considering accepting non-dollars for oil for the first time since the 1970s.
Well, and why wouldn't they consider taking gold-backed or actual gold, right? Like, taking actual gold is hard to do. It's heavy, you know, right. It's a pain to deal with. But if you can get a gold payment in the form of this stable coin that is honored by whoever it is that's issuing it in return for, you know, okay, I want the actual gold, ship it to me, then that would be really valuable, I think, more so to them than just taking in a bunch of yuan, because they know yuan's getting printed. Mm-hmm. They know that all these fiat monies are just the printing press. This could be very attractive. Unlike Bitcoin, one of the reasons why people don't want to take Bitcoin is because it's so volatile. There is the possibility that it could go up 10% in 10 minutes or down 5% in the next 5 minutes, right? Like, you never know what's going to happen with the price of that.
Right.
And when you're dealing with buying and selling a product day in and day out, it can make life very confusing and difficult. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's going to be hard for that to be Bitcoin. But if it is a stable coin backed by gold, maybe that could be attractive to them.
Well, and what's amazing to me about this is, so you have a combination of the two traits that people have been valuing for money. So one of those traits is, okay, gold is stable, and we know that gold is not going to go to zero tomorrow.
And it's probably not going to drop by 10% a day.
Right. It's not going to drop by 10% in a day. It's not going to go to zero tomorrow. There's going to be some real value to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that we've been really valuing is access to oil for trade. So if you have something that has simultaneously access to oil for trade, because this thing's being done by the number 2 and the number 7 producer of oil, and they're backing the thing by gold, because that's one of the big things that people are very, very concerned about cryptocurrency is, well, what is it backed by? Mm-hmm. And if it's not backed by something, how can it have any real value? Because there's this sort of idea of bootstrapped value, because things that have been traded with had to get there through being a barter system originally.
This gold-backed cryptocurrency sounds like the modernization of the idea of the OG, the old U.S. dollar, when it was backed by gold.
That's exactly it. I mean, the reason,
which was very effective.
Yeah, the reason that the American dollar gained this prominence is because it was being backed by gold.
And then they pulled the rug out from underneath it
prior to 1913, anyway.
Exactly. So to combine the backing by gold, which makes people feel safe, with the access to oil, which gives it that utility, and the immediate instant transmission anywhere in the world, and the security of the network that you get by putting it on a blockchain that's in a distributed network. I mean,
if that's what they're going to do. Now, the question is, what are they going to launch this on? Is this going to be on the Ethereum network? Is it going to be on Stellar? So I'm sure these cryptos are going to be lobbying hard to be part of this, because this would be the first time that the governments of the world have really kind of gotten into cryptocurrency on the creation side, with the exception of like Venezuela's ridiculous oil barrel-backed nonsense they tried. We're coming up.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. A woman is facing first-degree murder charges after shooting and killing her terminally ill husband inside a Daytona Beach hospital. Police say the victim, Jerry Gillen, already knew the plan.
From what I was told, he was aware of it. The goal was for him to do it, but he did not have the strength. So she had to carry it out for him.
Police were eventually able to take her into custody. No one else was injured. Buckingham Palace revealing plans for King Charles III's coronation. The festivities began on May 6th with a coronation big lunch and coronation concert the next day. Avengers star Jeremy Renner is giving a health update after a New Year's Day snowplow incident sent him to the hospital. He took to Instagram to thank fans for their support, as well to reveal that he broke 30-plus bones in the incident. Renner was crushed under a vehicle known as a snowcat while clearing snow. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. Bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian Pecos Mountaineer and Captain Kickass here joining you. You can bring up anything you want to discuss. We're talking about Iran and Russia possibly teaming up for a crypto or stable coin that is backed by gold. Not a lot of details, it sounds like, at this moment, but they're talking about it, and maybe they're actually going to do it. I think it sounds like a good idea.
I don't
mean
to throw a tangent in, but that's kind of what we do. Couldn't a company like Goldback, for example, couldn't they just start producing excess Goldbacks, putting them in a vault somewhere, and then issuing tokens?
They could.
Yeah, okay. They could.
But that kind of puts a target on their back for the federal government.
Big time.
Because, they'd have a harder time doing it with Goldbacks because you're not using their proprietary term dollar. But that is what happened with the American Eagle dollar or the Liberty dollar?
Liberty dollar, yeah.
Yeah, the Liberty dollar. That was was it gold coins or silver coins?
Liberty dollar was, for its time, it started in the late 90s. I think it was 98 or 99. It got taken down by the feds in 2007. It was based primarily on ounces of silver, and they had physical ounces that you could order. But they also had warehouse certificates, and the certificates you could exchange presumably, once, until the government took the coins, at least.
Right.
But they had the actual ounces in an actual vault somewhere that, you know, it was the mint that actually made the ounces. That was where they were being stored. And so you could, in theory, exchange those warehouse receipts for the ounces of silver. They ended up coming out with some copper rounds and some gold and some platinum. So they kind of got into all of it, but silver was the primary.
How would gold back ink tokenizing excess gold backs get them into trouble monetarily, like with the government?
Because the government doesn't like to actually follow its own laws. And you are advertising, hey, we have a bunch of gold stored here. And they're like, ooh, we like gold. Yoink.
I mean, I thought you were making a legal argument.
No, I'm not making a legal argument whatsoever. I'm saying that if you do that, it might work. Okay. And if it works, the government will not be happy with you.
Right. That being said, so then any other third party, fourth party, whatever it is, could just start amassing gold backs and launch their own token, right?
They could.
Okay. I've very seriously considered doing this myself, and it would be easy enough for me to make a token on the Bitcoin Cash network. And I say Bitcoin Cash because you can actually spend tokens on that without paying exorbitant fees.
But again, storage becomes the challenge.
Right.
You know, when you are doing a dollar-backed stablecoin, you can at least utilize a bank, in theory, to store the dollars for you. You can't do that as easily with gold, so you know you'd have to have some sort of serious security if that was something you're going to do. That's why when Liberty Dollar did their thing, they used the actual mint with, you know, armed guards and that kind of thing. Of course, it didn't help when the government came. Obviously, they just walked right in and took everything out of there. So I mean, there's just so many risks involved, and how do you actually make it profitable? One of the challenges with doing these things is if you're dealing with actual physical product. And you have an actual place where that product is being stored, if it's not just in your bedroom in a, you know, lockbox or something like that, then you're going to have to pay somebody. There's costs involved. Whenever you get any of these like gold-backed debit cards, which they have now, there's a couple different options out there for that. There's always a fee every month that you're being assessed for the gold storage. Somebody else is keeping an eye on your gold for you, and that costs something.
Right.
So, like, how do you make that profitable for the person doing it? It's very challenging.
And this, people used to be used to that before the currency system was ruined, because in order to have what we would consider a savings account or a checking account, you would have to pay them to hold on to this if you wanted access to all of your money at any given time. But now that we've sort of ruined the entire thing where, oh, well, your savings account, I will also loan that out to other people. And so you don't technically have access to all of your savings at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
You basically have what's called drawing rights, which means you might have access to your savings if you get there before too many other people access their savings.
Yeah. I wish more people just understood the fundamentals of, you know, how something like the United States dollar actually works. That the thing you're taught is that, okay, well, you can't keep all your money in, like, your bedroom under your mattress or whatever, and so you have to go put it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, there's not enough dollars in existence for everybody to actually keep their own money anywhere, right? There's just so few actual physical dollars in existence that it would be impossible. So that whole thing gets thrown out the window. Most of the dollar is digital already.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It exists only in this ethereal world known as the digital domain.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't ever leave. You cannot even, like, one of us could probably go to the bank and withdraw everything that we have in our bank account.
Right.
Right. But if we all, like, the entire town of New Hampshire, like,
went to the same bank. Depends on how much is in your bank account.
Right.
Because banks only hold so many dollars.
Right.
And then they, oh, well, I got to call in that other bank over there to bring it over here. Yeah. It's actually tremendously easy to cause bank runs in the modern era.
Right. And so if all of that is true, then what is the purpose of the bank? Right, because the bank originally, at least if you believe what you're taught in schools, was supposed to be a very secure building with armed guards where you could put your physical money and it would be safe and you could pay a monthly fee for that service. Right. So what's the point of having a bank now?
Good question. And the thing is, from their perspective, like everything's completely backward. From their perspective, the loans that they make, they do not ever want paid off. It is actually against their interest for the loans that they make to ever be paid off.
Right.
In fact, it is worth their while for you to miss a couple of your interest payments rather than actually paying off those debts, which is part of what led to the whole 2008 collapse, is because all of the banks, they just want more debts. And if those aren't being paid, that's fine, as long as we have more debts, because it didn't cost them anything to create the debt, which is a completely different incentive from what they're selling it to these people who, okay, well, I'm going to wrap that into this financial instrument over here under the idea that it's worth the actual amount of the debt.
Yeah.
So it's completely backward purposes.
We'll go to the phones here. We got David on the line in Georgia. David, you're on Free Talk Live on the Live Saturday Show. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Welcome.
It seems to me that, like, with fiat-backed stable coins like the USDC and the Tether USD and things like that, that it would be a really bad idea to have them in a quote-unquote bank account. Reason being is because with a bank account, the government can come seize it anytime they want.
Right.
And we all know that when you put your money into a bank account, it's not your money anymore. It's the bank's money.
That's
hello,
sure.
FTX sound familiar to anybody?
But it won't matter. I mean, if you have, if you're running a dollar-backed stablecoin and you decide to build your own vault and put it in there, it isn't going to keep it any safer because the federal government's going to show up and point a gun at your head, and then you're going to let them in.
If they know about it.
They're going to know about it. They're going to find it.
Well, even then, the fact that they actually have to send goons means that that is way costlier than them just calling up Chase and saying, hey, give us 10... To send
I mean, look what they look at what they spent on raiding the Crypto Six. They had dozens of agents here for this raid on
their
house.
It cost them thousands of dollars.
That means nothing if they're going to go and seize $66 billion from Tether.
Still, you said it's not any safer, and I'm saying it is safer.
That ain't much safer,
because,
dude.
A, they have to know about it. B, they have to spend the money to do it, whereas they don't have to spend any money to tell Chase to steal 10% of your savings. That's zero cost.
And I get it, but it isn't going to stop them.
And what's worse, it's legal if it's their savings. So 100% of your savings is not yours. That is what the courts have found, because the whole point of it was, oh, you're getting a percentage on this. Mm-hmm. That means you are willingly engaging in risk. You are intentionally allowing risk to your savings. Now, it's a little harder, legally speaking, for them to steal your checking account, but your savings are free game for them to just steal 100% of it at any time. And yeah, it's called a bail-in, and countries have been doing it more and more frequently.
David?
Yeah, another thing is that this whole Russia and Iran issuing a gold-backed stablecoin, I would actually be somewhat willing to trust that and use it, as a temporary store of value, like as a trade for, like, say, Monero, for example,
mm-hmm.
just as a temporary holding spot, before, while Monero goes down, so I can get back into Monero at a cheaper price, just as a staying in the crypto world.
Right. It serves the same utility as the other stable coins do.
Right.
But because I think you're saying you would trust it more because of the same reasons we alluded to earlier, that it's less likely to, sort of go under, that is, the governments are less likely to go under than the issuers.
Yeah. And good luck if the U.S. decides to tell Russia, or decides to try to get Russia to give them the gold in their vault. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that won't happen. That much is true.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the nice things from our perspective on this is that, as you were pointing out, if you're going to keep gold safe, okay, well, that is expensive. You have to hire guards for that. That means that and people are not used to paying a fee
mm-hmm.
for having their money being held for them. Whereas for this circumstance, the benefit to Iran and Russia is to not be dependent on the U.S. dollar-dominated financial system. So it's an automatic benefit to them. So they're willing to, I mean, it's all stolen from the taxpayers of those countries, but they're perfectly willing to absorb that cost in order to circumvent the U.S.'s control and choking them out of the current system.
David, thanks for the call. Go ahead. Anything else? Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys were mentioning earlier about the Western countries trying to kick like China and Russia and whatever off the SWIFT system. And my thought would be that these countries would welcome that just because of the fact that then they don't have to deal with the Western U.S. and crap like that. So I would think that these countries would welcome that.
No, I don't think they welcomed it when it happened, but they're dealing with it. I mean, it does cut you away from being able to interact with most of the world's nation states.
So it hasn't been so much welcome just as a matter of entropy. Again, with the entire financial system is just entropy. It's been based on this, so it continues to be based on this. Even Russia, which obviously doesn't have the best relationships with the United States, even Russia just never bothered to make its own system. You can, because the SWIFT system is terrible. Mm-hmm. It's outdated. It's slow. It's terrible technology on just every single front. But they were lazy about it. They didn't bother to make their own different one. And this has just lit a fire under their rear end to get them going on this. And
necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly. And China doesn't really want to be kicked off of the SWIFT system, but they certainly can no longer ignore that possibility.
Thanks, David, for the call tonight. I appreciate it, man. The number here, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. Is there more, Peakless Mountaineer, that we need to know about this stablecoin proposal?
There's only a few more paragraphs here, so I may as well go through them. Russian lawmaker Anton Tkachev, member of the Committee on Information Policy, Information Technology, and Communications, stressed that a joint stablecoin project would only be possible once the digital asset market is fully regulated in China. After multiple delays, the Russian lower house of parliament once again promised to start regulating crypto transactions in 2023.
Well, that's not good news for the people of Russia.
Honestly, the people of the world have, to my deep shame and chagrin, been demanding that crypto be regulated before they enter the market. I hate it, but people refuse to enter this market until it is what they think is safe, which is regulated by governments.
Sucks.
Yeah, I mean, this massive pump in the price of Bitcoin, I'm fairly certain that it is primarily due to the legislation that was passed in El Salvador. And what did that...
What did they do?
Okay, so El Salvador passed this huge piece of crypto legislation, and two of the biggest things that did, number one, it creates the first cryptocurrency regulation agency in the world.
Oh, boy.
And number two, and this part I actually do like quite a bit, even though it's still government, it creates a Bitcoin-denominated bond. So instead of having treasuries in, say, the U.S. dollar or the real or the yuan, it's treasuries denominated in Bitcoin, increasing in value by a percentage in satoshis, not dollars.
So someone can buy a government bond from El Salvador, or will be able to shortly.
Right.
Buy a government bond, which normally you will pay 1%, 10%, 5%, whatever they arbitrarily select based on whatever reasons, over 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, that kind of thing, and it'll be denominated in Bitcoin.
That's exactly it. And El Salvador is using these to build their Bitcoin city. So this is really, really interesting stuff. Because that's the thing. Like, it has been that you could, I will stabilize my investment by having these treasuries, and that way I don't have to lose as much purchasing power. But now, if you're willing to stomach the risk and volatility, then you can have these government, and therefore likely to be redeemable in the future, things that are backed in Bitcoin, which may very well, and in my opinion certainly will, go up in value. So you're getting a percentage on an increasing value.
That's interesting because, not interesting as in I would want to get involved in it because it is still the government and they're evil, but we've seen the U.S. government goons targeting companies for offering similar services. Gemini, yep. Coinbase, mm-hmm. The SEC went after those guys. BlockFi was one of them. Yep. These companies that will say, hey, give us your Bitcoin. We'll loan it out. We'll do stuff with it. We'll invest it. And we'll give you a return of 5% or 4% or whatever it was. So basically, you got the El Salvadoran government doing the exact same thing. But because they're a sovereign state, mm-hmm. they are not going to be touchable on this. I mean, they've already pissed off the people they're going to piss off by doing the Bitcoin legislation.
They will be touchable, but only by
invasion.
Right. By military means,
yeah.
Right, will they be touchable. Or political sanctions, that type of a thing.
Sure.
It would be the way that they could be touched.
Well, so that's the thing. As far as the political area of things, they've already pulled out all the stops on this stuff. So, like, all of finance throughout the world runs on credit. It's all about loans.
Yeah.
And the IMF has been telling everyone, don't you dare trust El Salvador. They have all this investment in this unstable thing, so they're not credit worthy. So all of the other countries are like, oh no, I'm so scared of loaning them any money.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what's actually been happening in El Salvador. A 95% reduction in violent crime.
Is that true, though?
You know what? I don't care if it's half that. It probably is something like that.
Yeah, like a 50% reduction in crime is amazing.
Right. And honestly,
we have to take the government's word for it, though.
Well, and honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. Because what gets people to kill each other when they're
poverty.
Desperate?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But Bitcoin's down. It's not like people are getting rich on Bitcoin in El Salvador. I mean, since the El Salvadoran government was buying buku Bitcoin, it's cut in price by half.
But one of the biggest parts of the El Salvadoran economy is tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who made money on Bitcoin that like to go and visit places that are investing in Bitcoin.
That's true.
And that's another one of the things is that their tourism is through the roof. Their economy is through the roof. And by all of these measurable metrics, they've been doing an extraordinary job since and because they embraced Bitcoin.
It is somewhat ironic, I think, because cryptocurrency is such a unique invention and has such value that hasn't even been tapped into yet,
mm-hmm.
as far as what it can do, that it is too tempting for politicians to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that somebody, El Salvador in this case, a couple other places minorly, are going to take a risk. They're going to say, what's going to set me apart from all these other politicians, from me running for this, running for that, whatever it is, or if, you know, there's some sort of a monarchy or something like that. When they compete on a global scale with other countries, somebody's going to take a risk on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if no matter what governments do, in the long term, it benefits cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they try to regulate it, well, they can't regulate the cryptocurrency itself.
Right.
All they can do is regulate the exchanges, the on-ramps and the off-ramps between the government currencies and the cryptocurrency.
Well, as we've seen, they can also go after the developers. Like with Library, for instance, LBRY.com, they've been targeted.
Correct.
Ripple's been targeted.
Correct, but they can't go after the currencies themselves.
No,
because
that's true.
Decentralized.
Right.
And even with targeting something like Library, I mean, sure, you are devastating this one cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
But how many cryptocurrencies are you leaving alone when you do that?
Yeah. And also, it's only going to encourage these organizations to become DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And Library was especially vulnerable to being targeted because the majority of its development was all being done in one place.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of these coins and tokens and everything, the development is being done all around the world.
True.
So even if you take out this cluster of developers, there are so many others, even on that one coin.
And with a
DAO,
with a DAO, the incentive for development is correct. And that is to say, if you're a developer and you wish to earn, you can go do some development on this one decentralized organization's token or platform or whatever it is that they're doing. And then you get rewarded for your work. And that's the correct incentive. You do the work and you get the reward. That's the correct incentive. Not that, oh, I need my country to remain the largest empire ever, you know, that kind of a thing. So mm-hmm. Not only do the people win, right, when you have the incentive structure correct, but it also assists in cryptocurrency adoption.
Yeah, it proves all of the points that we've been making for years about monopolies,
right,
and about how you cannot have a monopoly for a long period of time, because eventually the reward for breaking the monopoly is too large, and somebody who's in this monopoly, who's keeping together this cartel, will break from the rest of the pack and try to do this thing.
Yeah.
And in terms of countries, El Salvador was the first one to break from the global fiat currency cartel, and they went, ooh, here's this chance, and hey, we're the murder capital of the world, so like, we kind of need a Hail Mary at this point. So they were willing to take the big risk for the big reward, and so far it is paying off extraordinarily well to them.
Yeah,
that's without the value even returning to where it was.
Right. Yeah, that's why I say it feels like it's a little too early to be writing anything about how the experiment's going in El Salvador, because it's really, we're only a year and maybe not even quite a half year, like maybe 18 months. It was, I think, September of 2021 when they finally rolled out the Bitcoin experiment down there. I think it's interesting what you're saying about the Bitcoin bonds that they're offering, and it'll be very interesting to see how that goes, because now they're literally just saying to the Bitcoin people, hey, you can put your Bitcoin here with us, and we'll pay you a return, and you know, it's as good as our government's guarantees are, which maybe that's going to last, maybe it won't, but I think it's very interesting to look at that and see what's going on.
Well, and one of the big things here is that it's allowing them to create infrastructure that would never have been imaginable in any other way. So they have all of these volcanoes, and yeah, when you have that, you have the potential for geothermal energy harvesting. But in pretty much no way is that ever going to happen under the existing financial regime of the planet. But because you can use that geothermal energy to mine Bitcoin, okay, so now you can get these bonds that are Bitcoin denominated, they're backed by a country, you can use the money that you're pulling in from those bonds to build the infrastructure to harvest the geothermal energy that you then turn around to mine the Bitcoin.
To pay off the bond.
To pay off the bond.
That seems like a workable plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination. But
there's no guarantee in life.
Right. The potential is absolutely extraordinary. And even if all of this fails, they will have learned quite a bit about what their society can be.
Really, and it'd be interesting to see other smaller countries that are not central bank countries come on board with this plan. And then you start seeing the wealth shifting from the big countries in the world to these little islands and little places.
Great.
More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.